All right, let's go to Isaiah. We're going to go back to the book of Isaiah. Chapter 36, I think, is where we'll start. Isaiah chapter 36. Last week we looked at the different woes, the burdens in the book of Isaiah. This week we're going to look at a story that's actually kind of, there's a story here in the book of Isaiah, and then we're going to go to two other books in the Bible and look at the same story, and just pull some maybe truths that'll help you out of it this morning. But Isaiah chapter 36, we're going to start looking at verse number 1. We'll just start there. We've got like three chapters here in Isaiah to cover, so we're just going to kind of have to skim through them. But Isaiah chapter 36, we'll start here, and then I'll kind of tell you the story and what's going on, and then we'll jump around a little bit in the scripture. Isaiah 36, verse number 1. Now it came to pass in the 14th year of King Hezekiah that Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came up against all the defense cities of Judah and took them. And the king of Assyria sent Rabshakeh from Lachish to Jerusalem unto King Hezekiah with a great army. And he stood by the conduit of the upper pool in the highway of the fuller's field. Then came forth unto him Eliakim, Hilkiah's son, which was over the house, and Shebna the scribe, and Joah, Asaph's son, the recorder. And Rabshakeh said unto them, Say ye now to Hezekiah, Thus saith the great king, the king of Assyria, What confidence is this wherein thou trustest? I say, sayest thou, but they are but vain words. I have counsel and strength for war. Now in whom dost thou trust, that thou rebellest against me? Lo, thou trustest in the staff of this broken reed on Egypt, whereon if a man lean, it will go into his hand and pierce it. So is Pharaoh king of Egypt to all that trust him. But if thou say to me, We trust in the Lord our God, is it not he whose high places and whose altars Hezekiah hath taken away, and said to Judah and to Jerusalem, Ye shall worship before this altar. Now therefore give pledges, I pray thee, to my master, the king of Assyria, and I will give thee 2,000 horses, if thou be able to, on thy part, to set riders upon them. How then wilt thou turn away the face of one captain of the least of my master's servants, and put thy trust on Egypt for chariots and for horsemen? For I am now come up without the Lord against this land to destroy it. The Lord said unto me, Go up against this land and destroy it. Then said Eliakim and Shebna and Joah unto Rabshakeh, Speak, I pray thee, unto thy servants in the Syrian language, for we understand it, and speak not to us in the Jews' language, in the ears of the people that are on the wall. But Rabshakeh said, Hath my master sent me to thy master and to thee to speak these words? Hath he not sent me to the men that sit upon the wall, that they may eat their own dung and drink their own piss with you? Then Rabshakeh stood and cried with a loud voice in the Jews' language and said, Hear ye the words of the great king, the king of Assyria. Thus saith the king, Let not Hezekiah deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you. Neither let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, The Lord will surely deliver us. This city shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. Hearken not to Hezekiah, for thus saith the king of Assyria, Make an agreement with me by a present, and come out to me, and eat ye every one of his vine, and every one of his fig tree, and drink ye every one of the waters of his own cistern, until I come and take you away to a land like your own land, a land of corn and wine, a land of bread and vineyards. Beware lest Hezekiah persuade you, saying, The Lord will deliver us. Hath any of the gods of the nations delivered his land out of the hand of the king of Assyria? Where are the gods of Hamath and Arphad? Where are the gods of Sepharvaim? And have they delivered Samaria out of my hand? Who are they among all the gods of these lands that have delivered their land out of my hand, that the Lord should deliver Jerusalem out of my hand? But they held their peace and answered him not a word, for the king's commandment was, saying, Answer him not. Then came Eliakim the son of Hilkiah that was over the household, and Shebna the scribe, and Joah the son of Asaph the recorder, to Hezekiah with their clothes rent, and told him the words of Rabshakeh. Verse 1 of chapter 37. It came to pass, when King Hezekiah heard it, that he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Lord, we saw here a story, and we're going to expound upon this story some more this morning and just look at some different things about this story. And Lord, I pray that you just help us to glean some truths from it. Lord, it's nothing new this morning, and Lord, I needed this as I studied this, and Father, I pray that you would just help us as we look at this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. We see here Rabshakeh is basically what I would call a general. He would be an embassy, an ambassador for the king of Assyria, Sennacherib. Now, if you'll go back, remember when we talked about Jonah and we talked about the Assyrians, okay, where Jonah was going to Nineveh, which was the Assyrian capital. We actually came to this portion of Scripture, okay, and we talked about how cruel and how brutal these Assyrians were. They were renowned for their cruelty to the nations that they conquered. And we talked about, you know, Rabshakeh, he said, I'm not here to talk to the king. I'm here to terrify the people that sit on the wall. And we if you remember that, we talked about how Jonah was kind of, I believe, he was genuinely scared about going to Nineveh. And we talked about the Assyrians. Well, these are the same Assyrians. And Sennacherib is in Lachish, and he sends Rabshakeh to Jerusalem, to Hezekiah, and he says, all right, Hezekiah, this is what, we're going to come and conquer you. But we want you to basically give us some things. We want some tribute. Okay, so we're gonna look at this story. I want you to go to 2 Kings chapter 18. There's two other passages in the Bible that this story, this same story, is given to us. And actually, it's pretty much word for word. It's pretty neat if you read both stories. But 2 Kings chapter 18. You know, if you notice, when I was reading that about Rabshakeh, Rabshakeh was telling them, he said, who do you think the Lord God is? Look at all the countries that we have just conquered, and what have their gods done for them? All right? And he said, we've conquered them. No, there is no god that can stand against the king of Assyria, Sennacherib. And he was telling them that. So, but back in 2 Kings chapter 18, we're going to look at verse number 1. Now it came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. 25 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did. He removed the high places and brake the images, and cut down the groves and break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. Now remember, when Rabshakeh was talking to them, remember how he said, well, Hezekiah has taken away all the altars of your God. That's not true. Rabshakeh was lying. Hezekiah, yes, he did. He took away the altars. But the altars and the graven images and the groves that he took away was not for the Lord Jehovah. It was for the false gods that Israel had gone to serving, okay? So Rabshakeh was not telling the whole truth there. Hezekiah did not remove the altar. In fact, you'll see Hezekiah actually reinstituted the sacrifices. The children of Israel had gone away completely from sacrificing the way they were supposed to, and Hezekiah reinstituted that. In fact, it's interesting, this is another subject here, but Hezekiah, when Hezekiah went to reinstitute the sacrifices, there were not enough priests. Now get this. There were not enough priests that were right with God to even do the sacrifices. They had to take the Levites, and there were more Levites. Now if you would, let's just say this. There were not enough, in our terminology today, there were not enough pastors, called men of God, to do the sacrifices. They had to go to the members. Okay, I mean, they were still the Levitical tribe, but they were not the sons of Aaron. But they had to go to those Levites, and they said, hey, we don't have, I mean, they're slaughtering a thousand, I think that they slaughtered a thousand, I want to say Hezekiah gave 1,000 bulls and 8,000 sheep, and then the princes gave another 1,000 bulls and 10,000 sheep. A lot of work, but there wasn't enough priests to do that. They weren't right with God. And if you go through the Bible, it says they weren't even sanctified. Their lives were so dirty, they couldn't even go before God to make sacrifices. So the Levites had to jump in and help them. The people that really, it wasn't their responsibility, but they were the only people that was right with God that could do it. So it's interesting there. But I said all that to say that Rabshakeh, first of all, he was lying to them. Okay, so halfway through verse 4, for unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it Nehushtan. He trusted, this is talking about Hezekiah, he trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. For he clave to the Lord and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments which the Lord commanded Moses. And the Lord was with him, and he prospered whithersoever he went forth. And he rebelled against the king of Assyria and served him not. So the king of Assyria, Sennacherib, he basically had tribute coming from the Israelites. And Hezekiah, because of the Lord's blessing on his life, Hezekiah rebelled against the Assyrians and he threw off that bondage. Now, that's only for Judah. That's only for Judah. Israel, because we have the divided kingdom right now, Israel is still under the Assyrian reign here, okay? And they still are paying tribute to the king of Assyria, Sennacherib. Verse number 8, he smote the Philistines even into Gaza and the borders thereof from the tower of the watchmen to the fenced city. And it came to pass in the fourth year of King Hezekiah, which was the seventh year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, that Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, came up against Samaria and besieged it. All right, that would be in Israel, not in Judah. All right. And at the end of 3 years, they took it, even in the sixth year of Hezekiah, that is the ninth year of Hoshea, king of Israel, Samaria was taken. And the king of Israel of Assyria did carry away Israel unto Assyria and put them in Halah and in Habor by the river of Gozan in the cities of the Medes, because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord their God, but transgressed his covenant and all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded, and would not hear them nor do them. Now in the 14th year of King Hezekiah did Sennacherib, king of Assyria, come up against all the fenced cities of Judah, and he took them. Now listen, this is interesting. We see here a different... Now, all scripture is given by inspiration, okay? For instance, you go to the four Gospels, and you have four different accounts of basically the same story, okay? A wreck happens out here, and the police officer... five of us see it, and the police officer comes to us. Every one of us, we all saw the same thing. But every one of us might have a different detail that stuck out to us. It all happened, but it's a different thing, okay? And that's what's happening here. So for the first thing I want to look at this morning is Hezekiah's original relationship with God. Hezekiah's original relationship with God. If you look in 2 Kings chapter 18, verse number 3 through 8, we see here that Hezekiah had a wonderful relationship with God. Hezekiah served God. Hezekiah removed all the high places. Hezekiah removed things that was a hindrance to the children of Israel. Okay? Do you notice that the brazen serpent that Moses had made? It's amazing how religions, okay, for instance, we could say this brazen serpent is Mary, if you would. The Catholic, okay, for instance, the Catholics, you know, they don't worship Jesus Christ. They honor Mary, the mother of Jesus. Well, was Mary a great lady? Yes. She was probably more godly than any lady that probably ever, I mean, to have God give you the Son of God, you had to be a pretty godly person, okay? So she was a wonderful lady. But Mary does not bring salvation, okay? Now, the brazen serpent, the children of Israel had to look to that serpent in order for them to be healed. Am I right? Okay. But it wasn't the brazen serpent that healed them. It was God Almighty that healed them. Amen. Well, they're basically practicing, if you would, Catholicism here. All right. That's essentially what it is. They're taking something that God gave them and they're putting it above where the right proper place it needs to be. And so, you know what Hezekiah said? I'm getting rid of the serpent. I'm going to destroy the serpent. Oh, you can't destroy the serpent. Well, if it's prohibiting people from serving God the way they're supposed to be, it needs to be destroyed. And that's what Mary is. In the Catholic Church, that's what Mary is. It's hindering people from serving God the way they need to be serving God. So Hezekiah had a wonderful relationship with God. Because of Hezekiah's relationship with God, God gave Hezekiah victory in a lot of areas. We saw that he threw off the bondage of the king of Assyria, Sennacherib. We saw that he pushed the Philistines back where they out of their land, out of the Israelite land. So we see Hezekiah had a wonderful relationship with God. If you will go to 2 Chronicles chapter 29. 2 Chronicles chapter 29. And like I said, we got way too much. If I could just read the scripture, it would pretty much explain everything. But there's like 10 chapters we'd have to read. So, Hezekiah, it's not a book in the Bible. 2 Chronicles chapter 29. It sounded like it was a book of the Bible, though. Verse number 1. And we see here basically the same thing. Let's look at verse number 2. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father had done. He, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. And he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them together into the east street. And this whole scripture here is basically what I just told you about. There was not enough priests to serve God the way they should have. And it goes through the sacrifices. Verse number 20. They reinstitute the temple worship. Then Hezekiah the king arose early and gathered the rulers of the city and went up to the house of the Lord. And they brought 7 bullocks, and it goes down through a list of more sacrifices. Chapter 30, they have a Passover. All right. Chapter 31. Now when all this was finished, verse number 1, all Israel that were present went out to the cities of Judah and brake the images in pieces and cut down the groves and threw down the high places and the altars out of all Judah and Benjamin, in Ephraim also and in Manasseh, until they had utterly destroyed them all. Then all the children of Israel returned every man to his possession into their own cities. All right, and we see different things. Chapter 32, Sennacherib starts coming. The king of Assyria invades. Let's look at this. Verse number 2. And when Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib was come, that he was purposed to fight against Jerusalem, he took counsel with his princes and his mighty men to stop the waters of the fountains which were without the city, and they did help him. So there was gathered much people together who stopped all the fountains and the brook that ran through the midst of the land, saying, "Why should the kings of Assyria come and find much water?" Also he strengthened himself and built up all the wall that was broken down and raised it up to the towers and another wall without, and repaired Milo in the city of David, and made darts and shields in abundance. And he set captains of war over the people, and gathered them together to him in the street of the gate of the city, and spake comfortably to them, saying, this is a good leader. Okay, this is good leadership principles right here. Be strong and courageous, be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him, for there be more with us than with him. Isn't that a blessing? You know, there was not more Israelites. There were not more soldiers right there than there were with the Assyrians. I guarantee it. But there is the invisible world that we cannot see. And there is always more with us than there is more with them. So that's a blessing. And we'll see that in verse 8. With him is an arm of flesh. But with us, the Lord God, Lord our God, to help us and to fight our battles. Listen, isn't this amazing? And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. Hey, I just want to be encouragement to you this morning. You look out in the world and you look at what's happening in America, you cannot help but know that God's judgment must come on America at some point. Okay? Now, where it comes from, I don't know. We don't know that. It may be from a foreign power, it may be from within. We do not know. But as God's people, I know we're Gentiles, okay? But we've been adopted into God's family. And as God's people, okay, God is with us and God will fight our battles. And you know what we need to do? What the children of Israel did. They rested in that. They took peace. Everybody gets too caught up about stuff sometimes, I think. You know, you can't control. If it's out of your control, why are you having ulcers about it? Seriously, okay? There's a lot of Christian, I got family members. You know, they're Christians, and every time I go to their house, Fox News is on the television. That's all they watch. And you know what? They're stressed about what's going on. They are. Now, is it good? No, it's not good. And should we pray about it? Yes, we should pray about it. But rest yourself in the Lord. God's got everything. God will not let anything. The hairs of my head are numbered. God doesn't have to keep real long count of them because they're getting smaller and smaller. But God knows when every sparrow falls, okay? God takes care of us. So we see that in Hezekiah. Hezekiah says that. Verse 9 through 16 is basically, we could go back to the book of Isaiah. That scripture that we read from Rabshakeh is basically repeated here. We could go to 2 Kings. It's also repeated there. Sennacherib defies Jehovah God in verse 17 through 19. And then we looked at verse 1 of chapter, I think it was 37, and we saw the prayer of Hezekiah. Verse 20 of chapter 32 in 2 Chronicles, and for this cause Hezekiah the king and the prophet Isaiah the son of Amos prayed and cried to heaven. Prayed and cried to heaven. So we see originally Hezekiah's original relationship with God. Now in 2 Chronicles and in Isaiah, there's a little scripture portion that's not mentioned. And why don't you go back to 2 Kings? I know we're flipping through our Bibles, but Sunday morning, nothing else that keeps you awake, okay? 2 Kings, it's chapter number 18. So first of all, we see Hezekiah's original relationship with God. I want you to look at this, though. Number two is Hezekiah's payment to the world. Hezekiah's payment to the world. If you was just to read 2 Chronicles and Isaiah, you wouldn't see this portion that's put in here in 2 Kings. Okay? But at some point, Hezekiah, you would think, oh man, Hezekiah's a great, you know, Hezekiah strengthened the people in the Lord and Hezekiah encouraged him. But at some point, Hezekiah had some doubts himself. Okay? Wow, why do you say that, Brother Chad? All right? Verse number 13 of chapter 18. Now in the 14th year of Hezekiah, did Sennacherib king of Syria come up against all the fenced cities of Judah and took them. And Hezekiah king of Judah sent to the king of Assyria to Lachish, saying, I have offended. Return from me, that which thou puttest on me will I bear. And the king of Assyria appointed unto Hezekiah king of Judah 300 talents of silver and 30 talents of gold. And Hezekiah gave him all the silver. Listen. And Hezekiah gave him all the silver that was found in the house of the Lord and in the treasures of the king's house. And that time, at that time did Hezekiah cut off the gold from the doors of the temple of the Lord and from the pillars which Hezekiah king of Judah had overlaid and gave it to this king of Assyria. And then we have in verse 17 down, we have Rabshakeh coming to him. I don't know what happened. It's not recorded in the other scriptures that we have. But at some point, Hezekiah tried to basically buy Sennacherib off. That's what the Bible says. Okay? Now, I don't know why he did that. I don't know what happened. But I think the Bible gives us some good truths here. Hey, you know what, folks? You don't owe the world anything. You don't owe the world. I think some Christians, you try to, there's a couple ways we're going to go with this, but I think some Christians, we try to buy the world off. Well, we got to appease, you know, you got to appease the world. No, you don't. Well, we got to dress this way so we don't, you know, there's so many Christians, well, we can't stand for, you know, dressing right. Why not? You don't owe the world nothing. You don't owe them nothing. Well, I just don't say much about, you know, I'm a quiet natured person, okay? I'm not a confrontational in your face type person. I'm just not, okay? But when they're trying to get guys to go into ladies' restrooms, well, you're just going to offend somebody if you don't let them do that. I don't owe you nothing. I don't owe you nothing. Well, if I don't miss this Sunday, listen to this. If I don't miss church this Sunday and go to this family reunion, I'm just not, you know, I just need to do this for my family. Hey, I love family. But you don't owe them nothing. They can, if they want you that bad, listen, if they want you that bad to come to their family reunion, they can do it on Saturday. Well, I can't come. If they know that you can't come on Sunday, I can't come on Sunday. Okay, well, we really, really want you to come. Well, then do it on Saturday. Okay? If you make your standards known and if you stand for what's right, okay, you don't owe the world nothing. Okay, they can work around. Honestly, I've got 5 weeks of work, 4 weeks of work, side work right now, backed up. Okay, But Brother Iser called me the other day, and I'm not just saying, I mean, this is my job. This is what I do, okay? I work for the church. If I get side work, that's fine. That's great. But he called me. I've got plenty of work to do, okay? I didn't need to go finish drywall. I don't like finishing drywall. I'm not good at finishing drywall. That's why we spray drywall over the walls so you don't see the bad mistakes we made, okay? But you know what? I don't owe the world anything, but I owe Christ everything. Okay? So my priorities doesn't need to be, well, my priorities is not the workplace, the world's workplace. My priorities is the work of God. Well, Brother Chad, you work for the church. Well, okay, I get paid to be here some extra hours, but aren't we all in the work of the ministry? Okay? Aren't we all supposed to be witnesses for Christ? Okay? So we don't owe the world anything. Who do you pay tribute to? Who do you pay tribute to? This thought. You know, Hezekiah gave to the world that which belonged to God. Hezekiah gave to the world that which belonged to God. Well, that was just monetary. Okay, you want to go down the monetary road? What about your tithe? That belongs to God. So when you give your tithe to the world, you're giving the world that which belongs to God. That's what it is. Okay? What about this? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Your body is God's. For ye are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Your body is God's. You belong to God. So why do you give yourself to the world? What about your time? God gave you that time. I've always wondered this. I wonder if God, this is just a random thought, just throw it over there. You know, God wants you to tithe on all your increase. So if God increases my life by 168 hours, that's a week, isn't it? Thanks. Sorry. Brain lapse. Yeah. Oh, I can do that right like that in my mind. Yeah. If God increases your life by 168 hours, what's 10%? 16.8 hours. I wonder how much God would bless, and I don't do that. I mean, do you spend 17 hours basically in prayer and Bible study every week? No, I don't. But I wonder how God would bless our lives. You know, we know the truth about giving to God your finances and how God blesses your life and rebukes the destroyer. Wonder if we gave, maybe we should just do it for trial's sake. Wonder if you gave God 16.8 hours for every week, if God would rebuke the destroyer and all those little things that just eat your time up that you really hate, and you're at the end of the day, you're like, man, where'd my day go? Wonder if God would give you that extra time plus. I heard one man, it was an old-time preacher, and he said, I think it was 4 hours every morning in prayer and Bible study. Mostly prayer, I think, reading the Bible and stuff. And somebody asked him, how can you afford to do that? And he said, I can't afford not to. I can't afford not to. Just a thought. Wonder if, what about your time? What about your time? Because time is life. So if God gave you life and God gave you time, wonder if God, what are we robbing? What are we giving the world that belongs to God? The time. Nobody likes the time thing. Baptists have accepted the tithing thing. We've accepted the tithing. Oh, well, we need to do that, and that's the right thing to do. But what about time? We have a lot of, I'm going to dwell on this for a minute. We have the finances to do a lot of stuff. But when a church isn't willing to volunteer their time and they'd rather pay somebody to do it for them. Now, don't get me wrong. There's some things that we need. I called quality heating and cooling this week because I had an issue with this air conditioner and another air conditioner. That's out of my realm of expertise. But if it's something that we can do, our church, listen folks, our church is blessed beyond measure with the skills that are in this church. And if our church can do something in-house, but we would rather pay to have it done, not because we can't do it, but because, yeah, we got the money, but we don't have the time to do it. I'd roll over my grave if I paid somebody to mow our churchyard. Think about that. I mean, and there's other things. It's not just that. Why would we pay somebody to paint? And there's a lot of churches that do. But a lot of them don't have the skill set that God has given us here. Okay? Why would God, you know, how can God bless that? Yeah, we're just going to pay somebody to do everything. Hey, you guys, you know, I do a lot of maintenance here. And I love doing maintenance. I love working with my hands. But is it just let's just pay Brother Chad? Because sometimes that does happen. And I'm not saying it happens necessarily here, but I've seen it happen in other churches that I've been associated with. I'm just going to pay them to do it. But then nobody ever shows up for, you know, the last work day that we had. Listen, the last work day that we had here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, I remember as a teenager the work days we had here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, there'd be 70 people here. Tony Rash would be like, oh, you must be having a work day today. I've had 10 different people come in and get stuff. The last work day, we was lucky if there was 17. Why? Let's go real quiet in here. Maybe it's good for us. Because we're okay with the tithing part of giving to God, but what about the time part? Well, I just don't know how to do that. Well, there's a lot of people that can show you, and there's a lot of stuff that doesn't have to have a lot of skill set. It just needs time. It needs your time. You know, we can pay. I think Bearing Precious Seed, won't they put the books together for you? You can pay to have that done. But maybe God just wants us to give a little bit of our time to fold those tracks and to put those John and Romans together. Because you only value, folks, what you have to sacrifice to get. It's the only thing you value. Well, it's easier for me to give my money. Is that sacrifice? Well, Brother Chad, you're paid to do everything. You want to look at okay, I'm just saying this. There's a lot of stuff that I do I don't record hours for. Because in my mind, it's like, how can I ask church people to do something and serve if I get paid for everything I do? Does that make sense? There's a lot of stuff. I serve as much as or more than anybody else here without being paid for it. I do. You know, if you want to look at my hours, you can. I'm an open book. I'm not asking anybody to do something I'm not willing to do. Okay? I never want to do that. But where's your service? And we're spending a little longer on this. Maybe the Lord wants me to. But where's your service? Like I said, what are you giving to the world that belongs to God? What are you giving to the world that belongs to God? I got several other things here. Number one was Hezekiah's original relationship with God. Number two was Hezekiah's payment to the world. Number three was Hezekiah returns to the human representation of God. If you look at it, who's the first person when all this stuff comes down on Hezekiah? What does he do? Where's Isaiah? I need Isaiah. Who is Isaiah? The man of God. And you know when everything goes to hell in a handbasket? You know where people want to run to? When their lives are wreck, when the country's a wreck, they want to run back to God and God's man. Okay, that's just an age-long truth. Hezekiah's humility, we see that. He puts on sackcloth. We got to finish. Hezekiah's humility, if you remember in Chronicles, if my people which are called by my name shall what? Humble themselves. Humility required. God hears the prayer and responds. After Hezekiah prays, Isaiah chapter 37, verse number 1, here in, I lost the verse, in 2 Kings or in 2 Chronicles, where Hezekiah prays, right after that, the angel of the Lord goes into the host of Assyrians. And what do you know? 184 or 85,000 men died that night. They wake up and there's corpses everywhere. Talk about putting a hit on your army, okay? But it wasn't Hezekiah, it was the angel of the Lord. All right? Now, I know we've spent some longer time on that payment to the Lord. I think the Lord will payment to the world. But just some truths, you know. We see Hezekiah's good relationship with God. And this is the cycle of the Christian life. We get a good relationship with God, and then something happens. And we kind of draw away from God. You know what God has to do? He's got to hammer sometimes. And then we got to humble ourselves and get back to God. And then God, and it's amazing how often you see this cycle in the Bible, in the children of Israel. And what's the stories about the children of Israel? It's a Christian life. It's the Christian walk. So keep those things in mind this week. What are you paying to the world that belongs to God? Father, we love you. Thank you for loving us. Help us have a wonderful day today. Lord, I pray for the services in here. Pray for Children's Church. Help us as we conduct Children's Church this morning. And I pray that you just help souls be saved as no one's saved. And God, I pray that you's glorified this morning. And Lord, I need this as much as anybody, God. And I pray that you just help me to be a better servant for you. Lord, I pray that I would just give you my life and serve you with it. And we love you. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen.